This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. It is a great day. I mean, yeah, they passed the whole $1.2 trillion spending bill. And yes, I'm aware that Marjorie Taylor Greene has called for the removal of Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. And yes, I'm aware that Mike Gallagher, he's a congressman from Wisconsin, just resigned from Congress after voting for the bill. Voted for another $1.2 trillion, resigned from Congress. I am aware of all the problems, and that brings me to this. Dr. Dong Oracle. We're never going to live down that dong thing, Chris. Dang it. Dr. Dong Oracle. Not really surprised the system swamp voted for the omnibus, but should I just vote straight Democrat from now on to get the collapse here faster? Serious question. The majority of the GOP reps clearly shown they'll do exactly what the system wants. Screw we the people. Why should I ever vote for them again? Love the show, so on and so forth. All right. We just talked about it last hour, about how I don't lecture you on how you vote. You've never heard me do that. I lecture people who don't participate. If you're sitting out a primary, you're just kind of hoping for the best. I put up my Trump yard sign. I'm involved. And now I lecture you. But how you vote, I never lecture you on. Because what we're lacking in this country is people who care, people who vote with a purpose, people who get involved. We're not lacking people who agree with me. We're lacking people who care. So I've never told you how to vote. I told you that in the primary. I told you that in the general. If you're one of these people, I'm voting for Biden because I hate Trump. Okay? I'm not doing that. If you have a reason, a legitimate reason, I'm mad about the vaccine, vote that way. Fine. I'm not judging you. I've never told you how to vote. This also applies to people, and I get more and more of these emails. This applies to people who are what we call accelerationists. It's known as an accelerationist. What is an accelerationist? Somebody who doesn't feel like the fiscal collapse, the collapse, whatever way you want to put it, the big problem. Someone who doesn't feel like that can be stopped. So, hey, if we're not going to stop the car from going off the cliff, hammer the daggone gas and let's get it over with so we can get out the other side. I'm not judging you for that. I personally have had many moments, especially in recent years, where I agree with you for that. I agree with you. I'll have a moment where for 5 minutes I'll sit there just being angry and I'll stew and I'll say to myself, screw it. I'm not even voting for Republicans anymore. I'm going to vote straight ticket Democrat every time. Let's just get the party started around here. I had another moment like that today when that spending bill passed. I'm not judging you if that's what you choose to do. As long as, one, you choose to do it for reasons, specific reasons, and you very obviously have reasons. And two, we all understand what this collapse might mean. And no one knows what it looks like because countries come apart in different ways. There are big things that are similar when countries come apart, but it takes a different flavor depending on where you are. What does that mean when we start to come apart? What does it mean? Well, one thing we know it means, that this part's not debatable, is we will have a different standard of living, a lower standard of living, in a way that you and I don't really, we're not familiar with unless you've spent a lot of time in some darker parts of the world. A lower standard of living means what? Well, you heard Daniel Turner came on the show last night. In case you missed it, download a podcast of the show, iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. He's our energy expert, knows everything about oil and gas and all this other stuff, telling us what's going on in the world. And remember, he talked about how he'd just gotten back from New Zealand and he filled up his car in New Zealand and it cost $150 to fill up his rental car in New Zealand. And he was talking about how for the people there, they weren't shocked. They're used to that. It just simply costs $150 to fill up your car. So what does that mean? Well, in New Zealand, the average New Zealander, they don't live the life you and I have grown accustomed to living, because things around them are so expensive and their currency isn't worth what ours, what, you know, their currency that hasn't held its value where we're going right now as well. The house gets smaller, or maybe there's no house at all. Maybe it's an apartment. The travel goes down. Hey, we can't afford gas. We took a road trip last year. Not sure if we can afford a road trip again this year. Back to school for the kids. New backpack. New backpack every year? That's hilarious. You'll get a backpack once. Why? We don't have the money there. It's hard to explain, except everything around you, everything you do, you get to do less of. You as a family, you've probably cut back on eating out right now because financial times are hard. I'm assuming you've cut back. Maybe you're well enough off that you haven't, but for most people, they've cut back on eating out. Maybe it's a once a month thing now. Hey, we'll take mom out to lunch after church this Sunday or something. Maybe it's gotten to that where it used to be every week. Well, when it comes, when it gets here, that turns into once every 6 months. You buy in bulk, you eat at home, you scrimp, you save, you try to get by. And all this stuff is going to be brought about by the spending and printing from Washington. What happened today is, well, that's going to go into the reason pile of why that's what we go through. Now, if you want to just get there sooner rather than later, so that hopefully we can get out the other side, I don't think that's a ridiculous position to take. I don't share it necessarily, because I don't know what that collapse is going to bring beyond eating out less. There's a lot more to it than that. It might involve attacks from foreign nations. We've always been safe from something like that here in America. The very idea of something like that kind of sounds crazy to us. No one's ever going to attack us here. Maybe they will. Maybe you don't know. I don't know what all comes with a nation that's coming apart, because I've never been in the United States when it came apart, and neither have you. We're talking about a future that looks nothing like the past. We're talking about something coming that nobody living has ever gone through. So I don't know. We can look at the collapse of other empires and see what they went through. But look, when you look at that, no matter what way it took, whether it was the Visigoths pounding on the gates of Rome or whatever way it took, it wasn't good. It wasn't plenty. Or what? Plenty. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't something. When you look at countries going through it, you're not envious. You don't sit back and say to yourself, wow, I wish I'd have been there. I don't know that I'm in a hurry to get there. Now, if you told me we were going to have a big problem, a big bubble pop, a big come to Jesus as a nation where things get so bad that people wake up, and if you were to tell me, hey, Jesse, if we start it now, then perhaps maybe we can get through it in time for your sons to have a similar life to the one you had, now that I might sign on for, and that may be the case. What if we need that collapse? What if we need that other shoe to drop before we wake up and shape up and start changing how we do things in this country? Maybe we need it. I'm not saying I'm there. In fact, I am saying I'm not there. But if you are, I sympathize. Like, it's hard to see. It's hard to sit back and watch what's happened over and over and over again. Once again today, in a Republican House, I realize it's the slimmest of slim majorities, but once again, another bill gets passed through the Republican House that funds every single Democrat priority. You look around today and you wonder, well, what does the GOP matter? Why should I care? You look around today and maybe you're saying this, and this is a very fair thing to say. Tell me what's different about this Congress than the one Nancy Pelosi was running when Democrats had it 2 years ago. Tell me what's different. Anything? Anyone? Besides a lot of tic-tac-toe.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
I don't know that there is much difference. All right, quit. Let's talk about analogies. The FBI, DOJ, getting involved in politics, gas. No, we're not talking about Chris. And more on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's talk first about chocolate powder. I don't talk to you enough about chocolate powder. You know what chocolate powder is? Well, I know you're going to find this shocking, but it's a powder. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals. And you know, I've told you the wife tries to, I don't like vegetables, so she tries to make sure I start off the day getting all my veggies in some smoothie, which I will drink. I've told her over and over again, I'll drink it. She puts all this kale and weird, gross health stuff in a smoothie, blends it up, and she pours chocolate powder in there. That's how you start your day. I'll sit and I'll drink that smoothie with my bacon and eggs in the morning, and man, it feels good, and your body feels better. Start some chocolate powder, all natural. Remember, this is all natural, like all the nutritional supplements from Chalk. Huge discounts on subscriptions, as always. So go to chalk.com, code Jesse, and pay for those. All right? Don't pay full price. Get a subscription. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Pretty big Friday night in the Kelly household. Don't want to brag. Certainly don't want to rub my wealth in anybody's face, but it's Little Caesars night tonight. Little Caesars delivers every single time. Well, that's not true. Most of the time, Little Caesars delivers the crazy bread, though. Chris, even you have to like crazy bread. It's kosher, right? I mean, it's you can eat it. What are you thumbing your nose at? What? Okay, well, that's very fair. Chris said there are no garlic knots. Look, the garlic knots at Papa John's are maybe the most underrated menu item on planet Earth. Those and the jalapeno cheese bombers from Church's Chicken. Those two items are so fantastic. But crazy bread, I've been eating Little Caesars my whole life. That was pizza night when I was a kid. We would go get Little Caesars. Gosh, I love crazy bread so much. I'm so excited. What, Chris? I'm so excited to get off work. And now what I do, since I'm not a child anymore, I'm a grown-up, so I'm more advanced than I used to be. Now I eat the pizza, and I dip my pizza in ranch the whole time. But the crust they have at Little Caesars, just a heads up, they have a cheesy jalapeno dip now. You eat the pizza, you save the crust, you dip the crust in the cheesy jalapeno dip. Gosh, my mouth is watering already. I'm so friggin' excited. Ah! Hello up there. Jesse, I find your analogies to be incredibly well-crafted. They get really to the heart of what you're trying to explain in the way that makes it easy for us mouth breathers to understand. How exactly do you come up with them? We all know there's no way on God's green earth you're thinking out those insightful examples. Is it Chris or Michael or maybe even the phone screener? Don't lie and say it's you. No one's buying it. That's not right. That's from Danny. Actually, those are things I generally, the analogies. Do I do a lot of analogies? I do? I do a lot of analogies? I did not realize that. I just come up with those generally on the fly. That's why some of them are so stupid. Let me explain why I do analogies. It's actually not for you. I'm glad you enjoy them. It's actually not for you. It's for me. Because this is what has always bothered me about politics. Remember, when I got out of the Marines, by the time I got out of the Marines, I was still not a political person. I was not raised to be political. I was not. And I was working out of town for construction a lot. And so I started consuming more and more books and radio and stuff like that just because I had time. I was out of town and said nothing else to do and know anybody. I didn't have any friends where I was. I didn't have a girlfriend. It was just me. And so I had more and more time on my hands. So I started consuming politics and reading and reading and reading and consuming that stuff. And one of the things that always bothered me was people on the radio and in print would oftentimes talk over my head. And I'm not insulting them. I'm uneducated. You know, you understand that I'm uneducated. I don't have a college degree or anything like that. I'm extremely uneducated. And people would launch into these explanations about what is happening or, hey, there's this headline here. And they're using all these words and terms and concepts. And I never got it. And you start out lost when one of these guys starts ranting. And then you get more and more lost because you don't know where the heck he is. And I always wanted someone to explain it to me in a way that brought it home for me, that I could understand it. And so if you think I do that for you, you're kind of right, I guess. That's why I talk about it on the radio. But really, I'm doing it for me. It helps me understand complicated political stuff. Like, look, here's a great example of it. Remember this long, I actually might let it play this time. Remember this long Byron Donalds clip yesterday? Byron Donalds, great rep out of Florida. He was going over the money flow, the crooked money flow from Joe Biden's businesses, how it gets to Joe, and here it was.
To the money flow, because this is where the rubber meets the road. On August 4th, $100,000 is wired into Owasco PC from CEFC Infrastructure. Mr. Chairman, I want to submit for the record a portion of the bank statement for the time period August 3rd of 2017 to August 31, 2017, stipulating $100,000 going from CEFC into the bank account of Hunter Biden through Owasco PC. On August 8th, 4 days later, $5 million is then transferred from the Northern International Capital account of $5 million to Hudson West III. Hudson West III is a bank account controlled by Hunter Biden and Mr. Gon Wang, a.k.a. Kevin Dong, who is a CEFC associate. That money comes from the Northern International Capital a bank account that is tied to the CCP. On August 8th, the same time period, there is a wire.
You lost yet? I'll let him keep going.
Wire transfer of $400,000 to Owasco PC from the how.
I got it. And it was great. I love what he did. Don't get me wrong, but don't you find that confusing? Wasn't that a lot? Owasco, Mr. Dong, but Wang. I don't understand. So that's why when I talked about it last night, I simplified it. I needed it simplified for me. It's not like I listened to that and it just all made sense. You might as well be speaking Mandarin, even though I speak a little of that as a Dong. Now, speaking of Chinese, you know what China's doing as we speak? China's hoovering up all the gold and silver they can. Did you know that? China is acquiring gold by the ton right now. Why do you think that is? Why would a nation state like that be gobbling up gold as if they're preparing for something? They are preparing for something. America's House of Representatives today passed another $1.2 trillion of money we don't have. Call Oxford Gold Group and make your own preparations. No, I'm not under the impression you have money to buy gold by the ton. You better get something. You don't have to go crazy. Don't put yourself in a financial bind for it. Get something, though, and get it in your retirement. Oxford Gold will mail real physical gold, and you should have that gold coins or silver coins to your front door, but they also will get it in your retirement account, and they'll make it easy. Tell Oxford I told you to call. They'll treat you like family. They always do. 833-995-GOLD, or you can go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm still smiling. Whatever, we're broke. What are we going to do? It's weekend time. Enjoy your weekend with your family. As soon as you're done, listen to the Jesse Kelly Show. The Jesse Kelly Show's obviously more important than family, but once you're done with this, go back to your family. Dear Balding Eagle, you know, that's not very nice. That's not really. I know the FBI, DOJ, IRS, or evil should be disbanded and scattered to the wind. I disagree with the student loan forgiveness, and I think our system is broken. That being said, it's pretty hilarious. They all just forgave around $11,000 of student loan debt from a 36-year-old anti-communist father of six HVAC guy who constantly posts negative stuff online about the communist government. All I'm saying is they aren't sending their best. He said, P.S., what should I do about them canceling my student loan? Should I pay it back anyway? No. No. If these turds are going to cancel it, then don't pay it. They got money for all their other friends. They're hand out here and hand out there and hand out to these guys. Did you know in that $1.2 trillion spending bill today, there's over $800,000 in it for a gay nursing home?
Why are you gay?
I'm not even kidding. Do we even need gay nursing homes? That's not a thing we've ever needed before. There's never been enough of them. Now, granted, in about 10, 15 years, there are going to be millions of them because everyone's gay now. But that's not something that existed before they decided to start ramming that down everyone's throats. And wow, I wish I'd put that differently. Hey, Jesse, if under Trump, we get back to the largest oil natural gas exporter, can we make a meaningful dent in the national debt? I'm not delusional. I'm just cautiously optimistic. It's from Mike. Well, there is a potential good thing out there, potential good news. We are an insanely, insanely profitable country when we get government out of the way. We are drowning in natural resources here. We have so many geographical advantages here. Setting all politics aside, honestly, I will always believe this country was uniquely blessed by God just for its location. We don't even have very many poisonous animals in America. Do you realize that compared to other parts of the world? Compared to even other parts of the world that are on the same latitude line as us? The country is just blessed beyond measure. Russia, you know what's insane? I was actually talking to my boys about this morning on the way to school. What a bunch of nerds we are. But we were discussing Russia and the oil fields and whatnot. Russia is huge. I know you know that, but it's crazy how big Russia is. Russia actually doesn't have very many natural resources, certainly not relative to its size. It's got some oil fields, yeah, but they don't have that much stuff. Russia doesn't even have very many warm water ports. Yeah, you're looking at that big country. Look at all that blue. Yeah, it's all frozen crap you can't use. America? We just have miles and miles and miles of coastline and ports and resources. If we were ever able to get the scumbags in Washington, D.C. out of our way, we absolutely could pay off the debt and save this country. Now, the problem is Republicans don't care about spending either. And this has been my frustration over and over and over again. Again, don't project the things you want onto politicians you like just because you like them. Trump doesn't believe in cutting spending. He signed every big bill that got to his desk. He's never, and to his credit, he's never acted like he does. He's never been a debt hawk. He's never been a spending hawk. He does not worry about debt. He never claimed to be a fiscal hawk of any kind. And every single, and I do mean every single gigantic swampy spending bill that hit his desk when he was president, he signed. Every one of them. Before COVID, every single one of them. Our problem is not just Democrats. We've got to wake up and realize Republicans are almost as guilty for the debt crisis as Democrats are. Reagan, I know we're supposed to, revere Reagan, and I love Reagan, a great president. Reagan spent way too much money. And maybe you're throwing things at the radio right now. I don't give a crap. Reagan himself said that was one of his big regrets after his presidency. Way too much money. Way too much money. Clinton spent way too much money. Bush, oh my gosh, don't get me started on Bush and all that global war on terror stuff and the expansion of Medicaid. And then Obama comes along and does the same thing. Then Trump comes along and does the same thing. Then Biden comes along and does the same thing. My frustration with this fiscal collapse is I don't see anyone out there who wants a solution. And don't do what I can see you doing right now. Stop typing the email. Before you send, send, stop and hear me out. Do not send me an email telling me about what so-and-so promises they're going to do next time when they get elected, whoever that may be. Oh, but Jesse, my senator says next time we're going to cut the spending. Jesse, Trump said next time. No, stop being a chump. What they do when they're in office is what they do, and it's what they believe. I'm done being sold the bill of goods every time they're running for office. We're going to cut spending. Every single one of these dork Republicans says that. They get there, about five of them actually try to cut spending. My problem with the GOP is they should be the party of fiscal responsibility, and they're not. They don't give a crap about it. None of them ever have. I'm 42 years old. I have never lived under a Republican president who spent money responsibly. Never once. And I realize that's also on the House and the Senate, and you know I don't excuse those people either. They all spend all the time. Dear Dr. Jesse, I'm 17 years old. I appreciate your show. A couple weeks ago, you're talking about how we average American citizens need to step up and push back against all the communism, run for office, school board, so on and so forth. I want to fulfill my civic duty. My question to you is, where should I begin? How and where could I start getting involved in my local GOP? Thank you very much. Well, first, consider being a precinct committeeman. You live in a precinct, even if you don't know it. You have a specific precinct. Many people don't know what that is, but you have one. You live in one, depending on where you are. You have committeemen who have positions of authority. They're elected. Go become one of those. Or forget all that boring, meaningless crap and run for school board if you want. Run for state house. Run for city council. And don't listen to any of these lifelong local GOPers who try to lecture you about how you need to wait your turn. No, I'm sorry. State Senator Dork was going to run for that position next. Well, tough. State Senator Dork can try to beat me in a primary then, because I'm all in, and screw him. That needs to be, that's not just me being rebellious, Jesse. Understand that that needs to be your mentality when you launch into local politics. Don't think you're going to run for school board and it's going to be nice. I'm telling you right now, you need to do it and it's going to be hard. These people, they guard their local fiefdoms jealously. Whether you're trying to oust a GOP eunuch or whether you're trying to bounce one of these dirty commies who sits on a school board or city council, they're not going to make it pleasant for you. Your mom's going to get mailers in the mail telling them you're the Antichrist. Get ready for that. That's politics. It's a contact sport. That's how you get involved. Go run. Or if you're not comfortable with that yet, you said you're 17, go volunteer for someone who's running. That good guy who's running for state house, he needs help. He needs someone to work. Get out the vote. Send mailers. Go work for him. All right. One more segment. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. And then we are checking out of here for the weekend. But we will be back. We shall return. We shall return on Monday for Medal of Honor Monday. I have two different ones I'm considering for Monday. Medal of Honor citations. I've been nerding out on Peleliu a little bit more recently. And I can't decide which one of the two I want to do. Chris, is it out of line to do two? If we did two on a Monday, it would take me probably the whole second hour, maybe half of it. What, Chris? What? Are they within the same week of each other? Shoot, at Peleliu, they might be within the same day. They're within a day or two of each other, but they're different units, different stories, like different backstories to them. All right. On Monday, I'm going to do two Medal of Honor Monday citations. Just a heads up for those who really prefer to keep it about politics. The second hour on Monday might not be for you. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot in there. All right? All right. Now, it is time, I guess, for emails I didn't get to.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jesse, during World War II, Lieutenant Owen Baggett was credited with shooting down an enemy aircraft with his M1911 pistol. Apparently, after he bailed out of his B-24, he fired four shots at a Japanese pilot and watched the plane stall and crash. Have you heard this story? How common was it for fighter pilots to fire upon a parachuting enemy? If true, this is a new level of marksmanship. Are you this good of a shot? Okay, first. That smells like a bunch of crap to me. Listen, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he's not. A lot of people lie during combat. They lie after combat. I'm not calling Lieutenant Owen Baggett a liar, but I am saying I don't believe that story at all, that he shot down a Japanese plane with a 1911 for the simple fact that the 1911, I didn't even think it would have the range. How close was that pilot? That smells like crap to me. Now, as far as shooting, parachuting enemies, that was something that was very common for the Japanese. The Japanese had no rules. They would kill, maim, torture, all that stuff. Not nearly as common for the Germans. There is a great story out there now. I've actually seen the guy. I saw a video interview of the American pilot who took part in this, who did this. It was a story actually out of Germany where this German pilot, there was this big air battle over Europe, and this German pilot, just kind of a dirtball. The Germans didn't actually do a bunch of this to us, but this guy was a dirtball, and he was shooting down, he was shooting Americans who were parachuting down. In general, the war in Europe, yes, there was some of that, but once a guy was down, once his plane was out, once he was parachuting down, he's done, he's out of the fight, let the airman parachute down to the ground, you'll capture him there, do whatever, but you leave him go. Well, this German pilot was not doing that. He was flying around, gunning down all these Americans who were in the parachutes, and so this American fighter pilot, I saw the video interview when he was an old man, he was watching this happen and he was frantic to stop it. He was blind with rage. So he gets behind this German fighter pilot and he starts shooting at him. Only he won't shoot so much that he shoots down his plane or makes it explode. He describes in the video how he's just peppering him. He said, I didn't want him to shoot. I didn't want the plane to blow up. So he just doot, just trying to disable it. He succeeds. The German pilot yanks it, pulls out, boom, parachutes. Fighter pilot goes out, turns around. Here we go, brother. Shoes on the other foot and lights him up like a Christmas tree. Turns him into Swiss cheese in midair. But it was a different day, a different era back then. That was how things were done. Did someone shoot down a plane with a 1911? No. Dear Dr. Cuball, why is it that women lose a small rodent's worth of hair every time they shower, yet it's us men that go bald? Doesn't make any sense. His name's Eric. Listen, I believe that women, I've long believed this, that they have a hidden stash of hair on their body somewhere. I don't know what, I don't know where they would locate this stash. But, you know, I look at my wife and she has this wonderful full head of hair. But the shower drain, there's so much there. It's almost like we have a hidden golden retriever in the house or something. I don't even know how to describe it. Dear Gigantor, your Medal of Honor Monday reminded me of my favorite history teacher that would do military pants Monday, where he would put on a fashion show of the different military pants he had collected and would teach us about a military event that happened that he would have wore the pants. Do you have any military items you collect? I do not have military items I have collected, and I should start a... You know, I have virtually no history collection at all. One of the coolest historical things I have was something I actually bought in Israel when we were there, when we went there as a show. I bought a coin that was coined in, I think it was 400 or 500, year 400 or 500. It was to commemorate Constantine's battle over it was a really cool coin. And it occurred to me as I looked at this coin that that's like the only historical thing I have. As much of a history freak as I am, I don't have a lot of history stuff. It would be cool to make a lot of money and build a house where you had a big room of history stuff and just go nerd out on history stuff. I can't believe I don't have it. But at the same time, like when I go to a gun show, gun shows are generally great for little war trinkets about this bayonet was a German soldier's or whatever. It's great for little war trinkets like that. But every time I go to a gun show, I don't want to spend the money. I don't even ever. Shut up, Chris. I'm not going to be lectured by you about spending money. I never want to spend the money, so I never buy it. And every time I'm leaving a gun show, I'm kicking myself. Oh, my gosh, I could have had that, you know, Chinese-era rifle, and I'd never, ever, ever buy it. But now, from now on, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and now I'm going to be a big spender at gun shows. I'm kidding. I won't be able to do that. But I am going to start acquiring history things. I do need to acquire a house full of swords. I've been on a real sword kick. It's time for the Kelly family to invest in swords. I'm sure the wife will be great with that hanging over the mantle. Whatever. It's the weekend. You can email me, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. We'll be back. That's all.